This episode of Keep Calm and Crown On is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. As always, if you have any skincare or beauty needs, I would love to help you out with some of the most amazing products on the planet. If you have any questions whatsoever, you can, of course, search the hashtag MinuteWithMary, especially on Facebook. I do have a VIP group there that I would love for you to join. I share all sorts of tips and tricks and deals. And of course, for you, our podcast listeners, I have an extra special thing in store. I have a discount on my amazing 4D mascara. It gives you the look of false eyelashes. So you can find out that at minutewithmary.com/discount.
What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that the solution to our problems, I think, is not in the ingenuity of the rocket or the science or the technology or even the bravery. No, the answer is in here. Or here, or wherever it is that faith resides. And so, Dean Woods, having ridiculed you for what you and these poor, blocked, lost souls we're trying to achieve here in St. George's House, I now find myself full of respect and admiration and not a small part of desperation as I come to say, help.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Keep Calm and Crown On. It's a podcast dedicated to the Crown on Netflix, so grab your best cup of tea and let's get royal. How's it going? My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I can't get myself sorted straight here.
I know.
Gotta get my hat everywhere. You know, just a mess. just a freaking mess.
But you know what was not a mess was this episode of television.
Not at all.
Oh,
not a mess.
Oh, my goodness gracious. What an incredible episode to watch. I'll be sharing with you in a little bit by why it was extra special for us to watch. But before we do, of course, we wanted to remind you that if you are in the market for listening to any other kind of podcast bits or want to see what else Blake and I have worked on, to please, of course, check out Mary and Blake Media. You can do that by going to maryandblake.com or by searching Mary and Blake on YouTube or on Facebook. We're all sorts of places.
Yeah, check those out and see what you got with us. And, you know, just if you want to talk to us, you want to have fun, we can have fun on social media. Just look us up at Mary and Blake. But for now, Marvin, are you ready?
Oh, I sure am.
Let's do it. Well, the episode title for this particular episode was, in fact, Moondust. Mm. And I'm still working on the cameras here, by the way.
Yeah.
Still working on that. Still working on the cameras. The episode title was Moondust, and it was written by Peter Morgan, of course, who is the showrunner of The Crown. And he has written every single episode of The Crown, singularly, except for the last one, which was Tuasag Cymru, which I
look
still
at you still being able to see that.
Still can say that. It was
good
directed
job.
By Jessica Hobbs, who is famous actually for directing a show called The Split, also another show called Apple Tree Yard, and then also a show called A River, which is actually kind of a big deal among TV nerds. Marvin, what do you got for your Corgi's rating?
Oh my goodness gracious. I'm giving this episode a 4.8. Mm-hmm. I really, actually 4.9. I'm giving it a 4.9.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, going in for a 4.9.
All in.
I just really enjoyed it. I think that it was a neat insight into Philip. And I just, I don't know. Being one who didn't, we were too young to live through this event of man walking on the moon the first time. I'm always excited, no matter what show it is, when we get to see a character portrayed. Seeing this, you know, like everything stopped. The whole world stopped together for this moment. So it's just neat to see it from a royal's perspective. How about you? What's your reading?
So, you know, I've gone back and forth on it. I have written here in our notes that it's actually 4.5. But, you know, I think I'm going to do better than that. I had a chance to think about this episode, just, you know, just ruminate on it.
And it savor really, it.
Yes, just savor it. And I think a lot of it is due in part to Tobias Menzies.
Of course.
But, you know, I'm going to go a 4.8.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to go 4.8 on this one. I really enjoyed this episode. And it gives you a real good pathos into Philip and the world. And I mean, who knows if he actually was really, you know, obsessed with the moon landing the way that they're portraying it. I doubt it. But let's just say that for the sake of argument that he was close to it. You get a real sense of what this guy is about and his midlife crisis that he's going through. Because of that, I really enjoy this episode. It really humanizes Philip, and it continues on as a good second part to what started in Bubbykins, which is, you know, one of the earlier episodes.
Yeah.
This particular season.
Okay. All right. So the GBGs, our goods, our bads, and our greats for this episode.
Yes. What do you got?
My good was the new dean. As someone who has visited various religious institutions myself, it's always interesting to see how different leaders in a church or, you know, temple or any place of worship, how just different they are. How really it is their own unique flair. And I just loved how he came in asking for a building. Because at first you're thinking, who is this guy? What does he want? So I just, of course, if you wanted to do much more with the building and had that center for learning. So those were just a really neat element that was able to be interwoven in, which was a true fact, of course.
Sure.
My bad was the way that Prince Philip felt when he was interviewing the astronauts. And, you know, he's asking them all of these questions that he's taken so much time and he's desperately, you know, wishing he had more time, not just 15 minutes with them. And really, it's these young guys who did what they've been told, did what they've practiced a million times, very militant of them, you know, in nature that I just did my job. I've done did my job, which I practiced. So I felt... Yeah, it made me, as simple as it is, comparison-wise, it made me think of Match.com before I met you, Blake. I went on dates with many different people, and it's like when you read this profile, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to be it. This is going to be my life partner. Like, they sound so exciting. Their pictures are riveting. I just cannot wait to meet them. And you meet them and they're like a dud, the dud of duds. And you sit there so deflated. It obviously completely different for me. That's what it was like. Or maybe that's how it is when you get a new job that you've made out to be this big deal. Or maybe, you know, a class. Oh, like taking a class and then the teacher's a go. I felt like all of us had a moment like Phillips, and we could all relate to it in our own way.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. What's your great?
My great is watching it when we did. I don't know if necessarily it was the exact day or if it was the week, but we actually were watching the rocket take off Dragon with
The Dragon X.
Yeah.
For SpaceX.
Yes.
Yeah.
So to see it take off with our kids. And this, of course, was the first time that an American rocket has entered space in quite some long time with Americans on board.
It's been like 10 years.
So it was really cool because it was something that was shared on Facebook. And of course, everybody's on Facebook right now because, you know, we're stuck at home majority of the time. So it was just neat to know that the world was once again being captivated by Americans in space. Mm-hmm. And then we got to watch it, the world be captivated by Americans on space yet again. Just the idea of space and what it takes to get up there. It was really, really neat to see that at the same time. So even though it wasn't necessarily show related, my great was in fact that there were these crosses over then and now.
Sure. Yeah. My good for this episode. The first thing that kind of jumps at me when it comes to this episode is Philip and Queen Elizabeth's relationship.
yes.
you know, and you know, you could see that he's kind of like futzing around at the house, and he's kind of just doing stuff, and he's
the concrete mixing place.
And yeah, and he's just like he's like very, you know, quick and very terse. And just, you know, you get that feeling when you just like, you've had it with people.
Yep.
And you've had, you just, you're stuck and you're bored. And like,
not you. I'm just thinking of my children right now. I've been stuck with them.
I know. And you're just quick, you know, you're just too yep. quick. And,
Mama needs a bath.
And the thing I love about this is that Elizabeth recognizes this mm-hmm. and she sees it. And as a wife, which you don't normally think of Queen Elizabeth of being a wife, because she's just the queen mom, you know? Like,
yeah.
Here she is saying...
Yeah, we don't see her usually as a mother. We don't usually... In this show, we don't usually see her as a wife or a mother.
Right.
We see her in her queen monarchy roles and
right,
more.
Right, right. I think the thing that stands out to me is that she recognizes this in him, and she does what she can to like cheer him up.
Mm.
She makes it a point to say, "Yeah, absolutely, this is what we're gonna do. Like, we're gonna have these guys, and we're gonna do what
they're,
we're gonna do.
They're coming on over.
They're coming over, and she's doing it really specifically
for him.
For him.
Well, she even says, "I hope that it would cheer you up.
Right?
Do we need cheering up. Yeah.
And there's this great moment of recognition between the two. We are just kind of like, "Oh my God,
you're married.
You're married. You're not just characters. You're not just two actors, but you're a married couple,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
And I like that a lot because there's no reason to care about these people and their marriage other than it's
because they're also co-workers. You know what
right.
I mean?
Like, and I like the fact that you were given a reason to actually care about what the hell they're
yes.
doing together.
Yes.
The bad for me